Hey, grandkids, welcome to OPA 2. And with me again is Mr. Ken Phillips. How you doing, Ken?
What up? I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, not too shabby.
You know, you forgot to mention the name of the podcast last episode.
Yes, that's why I made sure to mention it right off the top of this one.
All right, yeah, I respect that. Good move.
Yeah, that was a bit of a fuck-up last week.
Kind of unprofessional.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here to point that out.
Not a problem.
Okie dokie. Well, we are coming a little bit early because of a trip made by Mr. Phillips, so he had a couple of topics that he wanted to talk about. Which one do you want to roll with first?
Yeah, I guess I have some old business to take care of first. Last week, there was a word that I had trouble coming up with. I asked my Twitter followers to come up with the word, and actually, I did not get a bunch of a response there, but...
Any response?
It wasn't much, I'll say. Anyway, I got a... it came to me that the word was...
Family doesn't count, right?
Preposition.
That preposition.
That was the word I was looking for. Yes. So, you can rest at ease about that one. And I think there was one other thing, but maybe it'll come to me later.
Yeah, well, I didn't know we were going to have a corrections segment to start. But hey, let's have fun with it. So
sorry for springing that on you.
let's say that Andrew Jackson put a little spring in the step of the Indians. And he may have made them walk across the country to some tiny reservations in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, you're right. And did you happen to notice that he's on the $20 bill?
Well, I may have.
Uh-huh.
And I never would have thought about that whole story had you not sent me that link.
Right, yeah. So I came across this article where they were kind of calling for us to get somebody different on the $20 bill because the guy was kind of an a-hole in some ways, you know? The people liked the story about how he kind of came up from very humble beginnings and basically didn't have anything. He had a single mother, I guess, who was an immigrant and didn't have, you know, a lot of connections or anything. And he ends up growing up and being the president of the United States. So, I mean, that's kind of a cool story, but...
The whole slave owner and...
right.
Driving the Indians west was bit of a negative mark, which they felt needed to be repaired.
Well, yeah.
By his removal from the 20.
And the crazy thing to me about, the whole... forcing the Indians out of, I think it was like the southeast of the United States, and kind of force marching them across the country, was that the Supreme Court actually ruled that he was not allowed to do that. And he went ahead and did it anyway, and basically said, let the Chief Justice stop me or something like that. So it was basically just blatantly... against the ruling of the court, which, I mean, that's pretty crazy. If Obama did that today, I think that somebody could get away with that.
Yeah, no, it's kind of hard, like, to imagine something like that in today's world. Like, it would just be so mind-numbing to see something quite that overt. Being done, like, if it's being done now, it's always on the down low rather than out in the front.
Yeah, but I guess it is the case that the Supreme Court doesn't have, like, any enforcement at all. Like, they have to rely on the executive to be a, to carry out their ruling. So if the president is just like, never mind, I'm not going to listen to that, then they're kind of like, okay, well, we said what we had to say, and I guess that's it.
Yeah, no, they can't just tell the army to go out there. He's kind of in charge of that thing.
Apparently, as that's what we learned after... that's what Andrew Jackson taught us, I suppose.
But, well, every president is commander-in-chief, so...
Right, but...
He just took a little more advantage of it than most people would.
Right. It's a little strange that he disobeyed the Supreme Court. It just doesn't seem right. And nothing, I guess, really came of it.
Yeah, no, we still have reservations. You know, they're not coming back out, you know, I guess.
Yeah, and I think what got me thinking about this before I even saw the article was we've been watching House of Cards at home, and the one's subplot this season dealt with the Indians and a reservation with gambling, and some of the Indians had been disenrolled, basically kicked out of the tribe, and they were trying to kind of get recognized as their own tribe, and they were going to this meeting with the vice president in his office, and on the wall was a portrait of Andrew Jackson, and the one Indian was over there looking at it, and he said something like, is Andrew Jackson joining us? And the other, you know, the guy apologized, and they had to take it down off the wall. So, yeah, I guess, you know, they probably aren't very, very happy with him even today.
Yeah, no, I have not watched that show, so I am not not all that familiar with it.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's a pretty good show. We get it. It's like a show that we watch as a couple, I guess, one of those shows.
Yeah, no, I've heard a lot of good things, but I've never just gotten into it. There are so many good things, honestly, that it's hard to watch all of them. You got to kind of pick and choose.
We should do a show about that sometime.
But,
the anywho, modern world, you know, there's like so... Remember when there was only like 3 channels on TV?
Well, and people mostly bitch that it's terrible, too, but I don't know. I find enough stuff on TV to keep me entertained that my DVR still has something on it at almost all times.
Right, and then you don't have time to watch it all.
Right, and there's other stuff that I know I'm intentionally missing. Like, Breaking Bad was something that I never watched.
Yep. Yeah, no, I need to watch the last half season of that. It just came on Netflix, so I'll be checking that out.
Yeah, okay. Back to Andrew Jackson, sure. I guess?
Yeah, yeah. So, he was... I guess you'd say he's controversial, you know? Maybe take a look at the article they put forward some other people as possible replacements. I think the one that they recommended the most was Harriet Tubman, which would be a bold move, I think, if they would to go that way.
Yeah, no, it had me thinking, like, which denominations don't have someone that was a president on them? Because,
well, of course,
Franklin...
it's all about the Benjamins.
Yeah. That one was obvious, and I always remember, I believe it's the $100,000 bill is Salmon P. Chase, who is one of the Supreme Court justices.
Wow.
But that...
they don't make those anymore, I don't think.
No, I don't, I'm pretty sure they don't make them. Like, they just made them for a short time, like in the 30s or 40s or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not fact-checking myself at all right now.
Should people hold you to that, would you say?
Well, at least the denomination and the Supreme Court justice, I will completely go with that part. I'm not sure when the bill was in circulation, though.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
I prefer non-denominational bills.
But, you know, I guess that was kind of the interesting thing about... I think almost all the suggestions were non-governmental employees.
That's true. And as a rule, you know, money is has pictures of dead presidents on it. It's not... I mean, there's a couple exceptions that we mentioned.
Yeah, well, and we have things like the Buffalo coin and Sacagawea dollar bills.
Well, Sacagawea is a person, though.
Right. But okay. And Indian. That was the reason I brought her up. Shit.
Okay. You just mentioned the buffalo and her in the same breath, and I just wanted to make sure that we
were... Oh, yeah, they're two separate things.
Okay, good, good.
Okay.
So,
but they always, I guess they seem like smaller denominations to me. Like, it's not a bill, I guess, is what I thought it.
And there was a Susan B. Anthony dollar, I think, at one point.
Yeah, and again, a coin variety.
Yep. They give them a coin, but yeah, I don't think there's ever been a female on a dollar or any kind of bill. Really?
Yeah, I mean, judges? At least in the U.S.,
The judges are nodding. They say they agree that there's it just hasn't it hasn't happened yet. But I think that'd be cool. I would be psyched if they did do that.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things that, again, just because that article brought it to my attention, I guess, like, that's not one of those things that I'm going to get up out of my chair and go out and campaign for.
You're not going to march on Washington?
No, no marching on Washington for me to change the 20.
Sure.
Like, if it happens, I think that I understand the reasoning there to change it over.
Yeah. Well, I think they should dump the penny, personally. That's my opinion. Somewhat controversial.
Yeah, I hope that gains steam at some point, because I'm much more for that than worrying about Andrew Jackson, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, we've laid down a rough roadmap for our government to follow here, so we can only hope that they take it up and go forward with it.
Yep, it's all about the change. and changes in subjects, too. The second one, I believe, was the headers for soccer.
Playing soccer.
Yeah, the article was about a woman advocating no headbutts for soccer, or no headers for... I'm like, why did I just brain fart on that? I just completely fucked myself. I said it.
You know what? I'm going to come out and say something that not everyone might agree with, but I don't think we should be headbutting each other when we're playing soccer. I think it should be against the rules. No, wait. Headers.
Yeah, although there was a manager that in the English Premier League that decided to headbutt an opponent's player.
And
this past week.
No, that was probably covered by a rule somewhere, I would imagine.
No,
you know what?
Probably not. Well, he was kicked out of the game. But, they believe he's going to be suspended for the rest of the year.
Was that like a technical foul or something?
Yeah, it was a little bit more than a technical foul. He was sent to the showers. For that game, and they were looking at suspending him. Okay, yes, that was a headbutt. This is a header that we're talking about. And the article was just saying that you shouldn't have the youth before the age of 14, I believe.
Yeah, some kind of arbitrary age, I guess.
Yeah, when you're more developed, until you really head the ball.
Yeah, because I think the occasion of the article was a lot about the first case of what is it, CTE? The
correct.
The thing that the football players get.
Isn't that why you pulled it up on your phone before we started?
I was looking at a different article. But thanks for backing me up there.
Well, you were right about CTE.
Okay, yeah.
I can't remember what the initials stand for, though.
Something. Anyway, it's basically from repeated hits to the head that kind of that damage the brain. And sort of they develop this... a calcified area of the brain, or it's just like doesn't work anymore or something.
Yeah, no, and pretty simple.
Chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Encephalopathy. There we go.
Yep. And I thought it was pretty interesting in the article that they said, well, if you think the NFL's recent bout with this spurred them into looking into it, they had mentioned studies in the 40s that started this whole thing, the phenomenon. So it's like this has been a problem.
Was that
for a while
with boxers, you know, or
no, it was I didn't save notepad on here yet. Oh, my phone's over there. Fuck off. No, it was all soccer related.
Soccer?
Yeah, because they did one in the 40s, one in the 70s, and I think there was another in the 80s and the 90s. So it's, you know, it's been looked into for a while at this point. It's not like this is something, because at least with the NFL, it's something of a new subject. Not that it didn't ever get mentioned before, but it definitely has been far more in the spotlight the last couple of years.
Yeah, you haven't heard it as much at all talked about with soccer, but in particular, this story was about a young man, Patrick Grange, who I guess died in 2012 at the age of 29, and they said that his brain showed signs of CTE, and he was known to head the ball frequently, which I don't know if there's people, you watch more soccer than I do, would you say that there's like people who are known for heading the ball more?
Oh yeah, no, Columbus Crew legend and U.S. Soccer star Brian McBride was definitely known for that, and I don't know, because he went back to Chicago after he played in England, because he's from that area. So, and I believe he stayed up there. So I don't know how he's doing in those regards.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he has had any problems. And that is the other thing that was interesting about the article, is that a lot of the doctors didn't want to give a completely firm statement. You know, they think that it should be prevented, but they're not, you know, 100% what the cause is.
Right, because it's not, I guess their research has shown that it doesn't take just like a huge hit to, you know, that totally rattles your brain to cause this kind of damage. It can be repeated, concussional hits. So that's kind of what happens when people are heading the ball a lot.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I guess it's just like anything else. I mean, your head is contacting an object that is moving it at a certain velocity. It's not, you know, it's not entirely light. Like, and it has some speed coming. Because I think they mentioned that it could be upwards to 20 to 30 miles an hour.
Yeah, let me pull up the stats here. But, I mean, I've seen plays where the ball's been kicked, you know, far downfield, and someone will jump up and hit it with their head, and it's got to be going pretty fast to have covered that distance in the air, I would think.
Yeah, no, and there definitely are. Like, there are four words that are called targets, so they usually tend to be the taller guys and the bigger guys, and that's who a lot of the goalies are trying to kick the ball to when they're going long. They usually have a target man that can catch the ball well. Either he can get the header into position for someone else, or he can, just trap the ball because he's a bigger player, and he can kind of box out as you would in basketball. And just kind of catch the ball with your chest and bring it down.
Yeah, I guess this article is saying that the force on your head for what they were calling a proper header which involves like tensing your neck and being ready for it and kind of you know, hitting it with the front of your forehead, like a part of your head, that can produce like a 20 G's of force, which seems like a lot. And then it says that the balls that could hit you, like kind of unexpectedly to the side or back of your head and moves your head around, that could be 40 or 50 G's, which I guess could be a lot worse, but I don't think, you know, it's hard to see making a rule against that because it's not like people are trying to get hit in the back of the head with a ball, I would think, for the most part.
Yeah, no, part of it is just accidental, which, you know, is impossible to control. You know, no matter how many other things you use as preventative measures, just accidents happen and that kind of thing. You're trying to clear a ball, and you can whack someone from time to time.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of happens. You're trying to go high anyway, so it just kind of leads to headshots.
I guess they could wear some kind of helmet or something, but that would really change the game, I would think.
Well, and I've seen a couple of players, Peter Cech, who was a goalie for Chelsea, wore one, where it was a full helmet with padding all over it. And Wayne Rooney cut his head a couple of years ago, I think. And he kind of just wore a headband style of it. It was a really thick headband. I mean, it really covered his full forehead and around the rest of his the top of his head.
Did it provide any cushion or anything?
Yeah, no, it looked, it kind of was sewed into, you know, smaller pillows to kind of fit around the head, you know, to be elastic enough to turn.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, they've used a couple of them, but it wasn't, in Cech's case, it was a continued use because he was a goalie and he can be run into. Wayne Rooney has not continued to use that. He wore it for a couple of games back just to make sure everything was okay, and then ceased to wear it.
Like a brace or something, almost?
Yeah, yeah, just like anything else. Like, yeah, if you injured something, maybe you wear a little bit the next couple of games, and then you let go after.
That makes sense. I think there was two issues in the article. It was for kids. You know, that seems to be the stronger point he was making was you shouldn't really let kids under a certain age head the ball, like any more than I guess you would let kids under a certain age, you know, you would have them play t-ball instead of there be pitching, you know. It's like too hard for them to kind of do properly. And he was saying that most of the headers that he sees in that age group anyway, they're just sort of random, not really well strategically placed you know, headers, so it's really not, it's kind of pointless anyway.
Yeah, no, and I guess that was the one thing that he brought up, and that most of the kids those ages that he mentioned are just really not skilled enough to get those kind of shots up to get the headers. Because they're just kind of swarming around the ball like a
pack of wild dogs.
Yeah, like a pack of wild dogs.
Yep.
So, you know, to me, part of it is a little alarmist in the fact that I guess I just don't think that it happens that much. But the more important time frame in some ways, because I think she mentioned, they mentioned a 3 to 8. But the 8 to 14 would make a little more sense because at 8 you're still a little young, but maybe the 10 to 14 you can start controlling that kind of thing if you're any good. And that would be a time to cut it out until, you know, just a little bit later. That would make sense to kind of enforce it within that age group because it seemed important within the article to cut back on it until you were more developed. But even then, you know, you might have problems.
Yeah, you'd have to pick some kind of you know, arbitrary age, because if you're the Tiger Woods of soccer, you know, you might be able to score goals with your head when you're three or something. I don't know, but somewhere that makes sense for most kids, you know. But if you can, it seems like there is at least one link now that ties heading the ball to this CTE. I mean, maybe it makes sense to just not have headers in soccer. It seems like an easier fix than sort of getting rid of tackles in American football.
Well, are you advocating it for all levels?
I mean, does it make sense if it's shown to cause this brain damage? I mean, I guess I'm just, using the Socratic method here, kind of throwing this question out.
I mean, it would pretty drastically change the game.
Yeah?
Because it would really take away, headers do score a lot of goals. You know, I mean, that's how a lot of guys get their paychecks. So, I mean, if it does go out, there are going to be, you know, more one kind of style of player less of another. I mean, and, you know, it's happened in football when they've changed rules. So.
Yeah, I know. I mean, well, you watch more soccer than I do, but I hadn't heard before about the players who are sort of set to go down there and kind of end up making a lot of headers because they're taller.
Well, yeah, and then because a lot of defenders will come forward when they get the chance. Chad Marshall from the Columbus Crew was one because he was 6'4", or something like that. So he was 6'2", or 6'4", in that area. But he would come down for set pieces. You know, if they didn't have to worry about defense immediately. Well, and plus he was good enough to get back more times than not. So, tall players definitely have an advantage in that department, even if they're on defense, when you know that you're going to have the ball down in your end.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, it would really, you'd still probably want tall defenders just because then they can take up more room.
Do you think you'd see a bunch of people doing bicycle kicks or something instead of headers? Or?
Well, that definitely has its own inherent risk. There have been failed bicycle kicks that do not end in the glory that everyone thinks they do.
I wonder if there's a supercut of bicycle kick fails out there somewhere. There has to be, right?
I would imagine. Like, how can you not have that?
All
right. But, I don't know. Is there any other...
So, I guess
I agree with the main... I wouldn't get rid of it altogether, but to me, it seemed like the main thrust was to cut down the possible... successive amounts of damage, that if you limited a younger age, that there's a possibility that, there would be less problems, at least. Which, to me, makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of the quick way to do it.
Yeah, I agree. Because it's,
You save the early part where it is an early developmental thing, and hopefully by raising the awareness to it, you also maybe limit it in the future, or at least teach more proper technique to be able to absorb the impact correctly.
Yeah, it's kind of like kids in peewee football not tackling, no tackle at a certain age.
Right.
Yeah. I think that makes sense. All right. Well, we figured out two topics so far tonight.
Yeah, well, and I guess it's always good to have three. And Oh, we're already watching some failed bicycle kicks. But that one was
kind of boring.
Yeah, that one was just missed. oh, well, you had read more about the article than I did, honestly.
Oh, okay.
About the, wow, that was just a complete airball.
He totally bailed on the bicycle kick on that one. He just sort of like, oh no, he just he went for it, but missed completely.
Yeah, no, that will definitely be the video there.
All right.
At the top of the post.
We will put that, on our, show page there. So, yeah, no, I was reading this, I came across, well, it just seems like there's been a bunch of articles, lately about, Bitcoin, and I guess there's been some, like, ATMs that have popped up in different places, and, you know, not on every corner, but in certain cities, like San Francisco or New York, they've had places where you can get Bitcoins into your, I think you have to get it onto your phone or something. So, Kevin, are you very familiar at all with Bitcoins?
See, now, I'm just glad you brought this up, because the only thing I knew about the Bitcoins was the infamous idiot intern that has made my Twitter account go completely boring, except for pictures of beer and food.
He hacked your Twitter account?
No, he did not hack my Twitter account. But he was going to invest in a machine that generated Bitcoins so that he could make money.
Yes.
And we did at least, it's one of the few times we convinced him not to be an idiot, actually, because we told him, we're like, dude, there's no way they're just going to be giving these machines away. Like, if they can make the money off of them, why aren't they just making the money off of them?
Right. So, yeah, so that was your experience with Bitcoins.
Yeah, that is my experience with Bitcoins.
Yeah, there's an interesting idea of a currency that's not controlled by any one central agency or anything like that. So, you know, but the United States dollars, they're put into play by the Federal Reserve, who gives it to banks, who kind of give it to everybody else, supposedly. But Bitcoins are mined by computer programs. So they are running it, you know, as many cycles per second as they can, trying to solve these complicated math problems. And if they come up with a solution, then that the reward is like 50 Bitcoins, I think. And it's some amount of Bitcoins. So then you have, by doing all these calculations, you have verified some of the transactions that are going on with the Bitcoins.
Okay.
So it's like you're doing something to kind of help the system work. But then, so that your reward then is to get some Bitcoins. That's mining. So that's kind of like how new Bitcoins come about. But there's also people, you know, trading them back and forth for services and certain places where you can, you know, buy things with them. I don't know if Amazon started taking Bitcoins. Some place like that
did. Oh, okay. Something that big is taking Bitcoins.
Yeah, so it's, you know, the value of the individual Bitcoins has been, like, going crazy. I mean, up and down. But, like, when I started first paying attention, I think the Bitcoins were, like, $12 for a Bitcoin.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they're a couple hundred dollars now.
Damn, son.
Yeah, so
it sounds like a decent investment.
Maybe. I mean, it goes up and down, though.
Yeah, just like anything else.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, you really have to kind of the Bitcoins themselves, I don't know, it's just kind of a strings of information, you know, that are saved on a computer, you know, ones and zeros somewhere. So people have been using these online banks to store their Bitcoins. And there's been like a wave of, and I think that's kind of the stories I've been seeing, of these different banks getting attacked and robbed. Like, you know, losing millions of dollars and having to go into bankruptcy because someone has found an exploit somewhere in their code.
Oh, man.
And
that's pretty rough.
Yeah.
I mean, is it any bank that I'd even be half familiar with?
Not real banks, no.
Oh, okay. It's not like Bank of America.
No, these are all like Bitcoin banks. And, you know, some there's a little bit of schadenfreude going around because some of them were advertised as being like completely 100% safe and, you know, there's not anything going to happen. You know, we've got it figured out. And then they end up getting, you know, completely taken out. So part of the problem is that, you know, you have people like you don't know really what you're dealing with, like people who may know kind of how to put a website together are maybe running these bank sites, and they don't know like all the exploits that are out there, and
so they're not hackers.
Well,
the cool kids not hackers anymore.
No, I think you're right to say hackers. But that's kind of seen as like, you know, somebody who knows what they're doing, I guess. But
oh, okay. So you're not saying these Bitcoin places are being robbed by the smartest people. They're even kind of advanced user can bust into them.
Well, I think that the people who are running these Bitcoin sites are not the most sophisticated. You know, I think maybe not as sophisticated as they should be, given the amount of money that they're dealing with, it seems to me. Because some kind of code was, or some kind of a exploit must have been found, because there's like a string of these places, like boom, 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 it seems like. So I guess I just think that, you know, they're not be able to plan for this kind of thing happening, I guess. But, you know, to be fair, if this were to happen to a real bank, there would be ways to, like, reverse these charges. But the thing with Bitcoin is there's no central control, so it's like once it is gone, it's gone.
Yeah, no, you don't have some PIN numbers in your computer anywhere.
Right. And so
I don't know, would that be one way to keep track of it? Like, somehow you have the codes embedded in your computer, too?
That's a good... You know what? That's what you're getting to what I was going to say, because that's actually a much safer way to keep your Bitcoins, is instead of keeping them on some server somewhere. You know, you can keep them on a thumb drive, even. You know, something that's not even connected to the internet, so that you wouldn't have to worry about somebody snagging it.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Well, then why would people use banks anyway, then?
I think...
I mean, maybe, they weren't like given an interest rate, were they?
No, I don't think so. I think probably just people who are not... Maybe not sophisticated. Like, I don't know why you would not... Why would you use the bank? I think people... Some of these sites will transfer... You know, if you send them U.S. dollars, they'll deposit bitcoins for you into your account. And so then people just leave it there, maybe not even realizing what the risk is.
I could see that happening.
Yeah.
And until they get hammered and then they realize it. I mean, and I guess that's the other thing. Like, if I started to realize that I had mine in a bank and, like, two banks had just been hit... I mean, like, okay, see ya, bye, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You know, you would think that by the first one, you can't really, you're like, oh, man, I'm fucked. You know, you can't reverse that when it's kind of a bit of a surprise. But, you know, the second one, or anytime after the second one, you're just asking for trouble.
Right. Yeah, and I think it's just people not even... Because I think there is a little bit that is more technical to set up, like, your own wallet, they call it, on your computer. It's like you have to know a little bit of what you're doing. So part of it is that people don't even want to bother with any of that.
Okay, so I'm not going to do this then.
Well, I mean, there's some people who think this is all a total fad and it's going to all crash. So I guess you have to do it with... And then, you know, there's certainly that's possible. So do it at your own risk. But yeah, you know, it's talking about... Because when they started mining Bitcoins, it was relatively easy to do. So people could kind of do it on their own home computers. But then it ended up moving up to... you know, well, people realized that the fastest computers would do it better, so they started getting faster computers, and then those kind of topped out at a certain point. So then they found out they could use the graphical processing unit of their computers to actually, it's actually more efficient at doing it, so that became the new thing. So everybody started using their GPUs, and then people started to make specifically designed hardware that is just designed to run these calculations. So that's what your intern was looking at. But there's been some people who have said that these companies have taken their money and not delivered. So you probably were wise to tell them not to do that.
Yeah, I was not shocked when you you informed me of that news. I'm like, oh, really? Oh, I can't believe it.
Yeah. It does seem a little strange that someone would sell that to somebody, you know, like basically a machine that prints money. Here you go. But the other thing is, like, as these machines have come out, and as there's more processing power being used, the it gets harder and harder to solve. Like, they'll make it, like, part of the, I guess, genius of the Bitcoin is that it adjusts the difficulty based on how many people or how fast it was that the last one was solved. So it'll make it harder and harder. So it takes even more processing power to get to mine new Bitcoins.
Oh, I did not realize that part.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, if your friend, the intern, didn't get in early and get one of these, you know, if everybody has one, then it's kind of the benefit's going to go away.
But, yeah, you'd still have to... re-up at some point. You know, I'd imagine that you're going to have to replace your computer at some point. Because, I mean, they go out of style kind of quickly, you know, just for a casual user. I would think if someone's doing something, or thinking about doing something like that, they're ready to invest more money in computers more often.
Yeah, and... what people did start to do is to pull their computers together and kind of have them all work in concert and then share whatever benefits, whatever Bitcoins are, you know, they go into a pool and then it gets split out among all the people in the group.
Gotcha.
Which makes sense. So I think that's how most of the Bitcoins today are mined, by these big, there's big pools out there that are working away.
Okie dokie.
But
that's, I'm learning a lot today.
All the background there. So yeah, the story I was looking at today was, you know, throughout the history of this Bitcoin, it started, I think, in 2008 or so. No one's ever actually seen or talked to in person the guy who wrote the code that kind of got the whole thing going. The inventor of Bitcoin, if you will. I mean, he had people online who were helping out with the code and kind of, you know, making it better. But he was the one who kind of came up with the.
He's the architect of the Matrix. Is that what you're telling me?
I can't remember it from the movies. He was like the old guy behind the desk. Is that?
Yeah, he was. I think he's like a Princeton religion professor or something like that.
When he's not architecting the Matrix.
Yeah, when he's not architecting the Matrix. Which I always thought was kind of a little cool.
Yeah, No, it's, he seemed familiar for some reason. But, yeah, the guy went by the name Satoshi Nakamoto. And people didn't know if that was his real name or just a, you know, a name online, because no one really knew anything about him. So, after a point, he sort of, like, dropped out and said, hey, you know, other people have taken over. I'm not doing anything with this anymore. And, disappeared. Like, basically no one knew who he was. But part of the thing with Bitcoins is that all the transactions that happen with Bitcoins are public, and, like, his wallet has been identified, so people know that he has $400 million worth of Bitcoins. Because, I mean, when he got them, I'm sure they were worthless. But recently, like I said, they've gone through the roof.
Yeah, $400 million is a little bit of money.
Yeah. And,
I mean, I don't know if he can get a house built with Bitcoins, but he could have a pretty slick house.
Right. Well, he would probably want to cash out and convert that to some other currency that you can buy a house with or build a house with. Like,
what, ATR isn't going to take Bitcoins?
I don't think we're there yet. I don't know. Or, I guess...
Damn you, real estate companies.
Yeah. Get with the program, real estate companies. Come on. It's 2014. Take Bitcoins to build a house.
It's been 6 years.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah, really. I mean, come on. You act like this happened overnight.
Wow. Get with the program.
6 years is like forever now.
It is. But, yeah, so this guy is... basically, this reporter was able to track him down by looking up that name, Satoshi, whatever, and just looked for people who it might be, and then kind of narrowed things down until he found the guy who seems like he was the guy. And then he went out to his house and was talking to him, and he basically was just saying, like, hey, I don't want to talk to you, and I don't really do anything with Bitcoins anymore. But from what he could tell, this guy, he, you know, was a brilliant physicist, I think they said, and, you know, computer programmer. He worked for the government at some point. So that seemed a little... You know, like, there might be a little bit of sketchiness going with this guy, because it seems like around 2001, he stopped working at his last known kind of company, and then since then, he's maybe been working for the government, or, like, he hasn't really talked to anyone. Like, his brother, they interviewed, and his brother said he was kind of an a-hole. And, you know, other people basically said the same thing.
Outstanding. I mean, I'm not surprised to hear that. You know, the guy is some super genius that came up with a ridiculous amount to make himself. I mean, the dude made himself $400 million. I'm right, but not surprised that he's an asshole.
He has that, you know, it's worth that now. I mean, it could all come crashing down.
Yeah, no. I mean, I would at least cash out a decent amount of it.
Right. Well, the crazy thing is that, like, they were talking to people in the article, and they said that, you know, he or people in his family could... It's not like they're, like, well off. Like, they could use some extra money. So it's like... And the people in his family have had no idea that he has...
That much money.
Yeah, they didn't know that he told no one that he had invented Bitcoin. Like, no one in his family knew. So...
So this reporter was, like, really the first guy to finally hunt him down.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Like, that's, like, they should make a movie of that someday. Like, if Mark Zuckerberg can get a movie, this guy should get a movie, I think.
Yeah, but, no, I mean, you can even throw a little James Bond in there if he worked for the government.
Yeah. I think if he thought he was going to get, you know, no one was going to... find him, that he was smoking something, because when you're, I think they said that, you know, at its peak, and I'm not sure when that was, there was, that Bitcoins were trading at the rate of $500 million per day. Like, there's a lot of money being spent here, and people are going to want to know who this guy is.
You know? Yeah, no, in a lot of ways, I'm just surprised that it took someone this long to hunt him down. Like, it seems like if some reporter can hunt him down, I would think that someone who was kind of intent on finding him would have found him at this point.
Yeah, especially when,
again, it's 6 years.
And he was using his real name, or at least, well, part of his real name, I guess, but still, that's...
That's a pretty good tell.
I'm showing you his picture here.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Not to,
nothing to brag about.
You would not look at him twice, probably, if you saw him.
Nope.
You know, 62 years old, I guess. But he, apparently is a big, libertarian guy, and that's kind of where he came from here to start the Bitcoin. Which, a lot of libertarian people are into Bitcoin for, because it's not controlled by the government. So that's kind of his thing, too.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. I liked, at the end of the story, they were talking to his daughter, and she was saying that, you know, she was one of the people who was saying he's kind of a different kind of dude.
Right.
And she said, okay, it's a long article here.
Yeah, come on. Scroll faster, bitch. Scrolling.
This is great radio.
Scrolling.
Oh, okay. She said, he is very wary of government interference in general, she says. When I was little, there was a game we used to play. He would say, pretend the government agencies are coming after you, and I would hide in the closet. So, that sounds like a great game.
Well, hey, you know, we were waiting for somebody to come up with something new for hide and seek, and that seems to be a new version of hide and seek.
Wow, this guy came up with a lot.
Yep, good for him. He's an inventor of all things.
Children's games, new currencies, you name it. Sky's the limit.
Well, the sky is not the limit on this topic.
Oh, good segue.
And I'm going to end with two things. One thing is I just got, for my birthday, Trivia, WWE Trivia Mania game. And though Ken has not watched much professional wrestling, he did watch some during the Attitude Era. So there are three types of cards in this game. There's Attitude Era, Classic, and Modern Era. So, I'm going to pull out a card to see if you can answer any of the three questions.
Okay, I'm looking at The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin on the back of this card. So, yeah, that's the era I'm most familiar with.
Vince McMahon was the controversial winner of the Royal Rumble in 1999. Who did he last eliminate to win the event?
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was Stone Cold Steve Austin.
You are correct, sir.
Woo!
Survivor Series 1998 featured the Deadly Game Tournament for the vacant WWE title. Who won the tournament, claiming his first WWE championship?
98. His first championship. I'm going to say it was Mick Foley.
You are incorrect, sir. But he was part of the Rock and Sock connection.
Oh.
He was the Rock end.
My dart was not far from the mark on that one.
Nope. And then we may have imitated these two gentlemen as the keg protection agency during one of my brother's keg parties.
Right.
Who made up the tag team of the Acolytes?
That would be Farouk and Bradshaw.
You are correct, sir. 2 out of 3 is a passing grade.
That ain't bad. In my book. 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Well, I believe this is plug time. So we have at Gozer33, at DeFrango11, at StuntGranny, at Granny Maze, at Stunt Dusty, and Eric runs the at Stunt Granny thing most of the time until Jeremy starts fucking with people in Chicago.
Hey.
It's a PG show.
There's kids out there.
And, yeah, I think that's, you can do stuntgranny@gmail.com and, comment on the post. So, one last order of business. I believe I'm going to add this, every week here. Sippy Time Beer of the Week for me is, Avery Brewing Company from, Colorado. And it's the, Karma, which is a Belgian-style pale ale. It's a limited edition beer, and my brother Brian actually suggested it, and I saw it at my local market here, Kenny Road, and I had to pick it up. So if you send in suggestions, I will be more than happy to try beverages if I am able to procure them.
Yeah, let's hope you can procure some beverages out there. I'm all for that.
Okie doke, kids, grandkids, have a good sippy time beer, and have a good night.
Good night.